Well, we often hear about life on Mars, but life on Europa? Where is that anyway? HBR's Ryan Finity is here to talk about the latest discovery by Keck Observatory. Good morning.
Hey, Catherine. And yeah, as you mentioned, this discovery concerns Europa, which is one of the moons of Jupiter, the largest planet in the solar system and the first one of the outer planets. And this moon, Europa, was actually discovered by Galileo in 1610, I believe. So humans have known about it for a long time, but it's attracted a lot of attention in the last few decades because scientists believe there's a lot of water there. And water is kind of, you know, the building block of life as we know it here on Earth. And so this moon first really attracted attention in the 1970s during the Voyager mission. Folks might remember that one. It sent back some photos of this really icy surface with big cracks running through it. It was described as a veiny eyeball. That's kind of what it looks like. And then again in the 90s, the Galileo probe sent back some better photos that confirmed there was ice on the water ice on the surface of the moon. And it also found evidence of some kind of liquid beneath that ice using magnetic field data. And so it kind of gave rise to this theory that there was a big liquid ocean underneath the ice. And then a little while later, the Hubble Space Telescope in orbit around Earth found evidence of water vapor above the surface of Europa. And so that gave rise to this theory that these big cracks that were seen on the surface of Europa were allowing some liquid water to escape. And a team from NASA set out to try and verify that theory. They used the Keck Observatory on Mauna Kea, as you mentioned. And what they were trying to do was capture in time this water geyser shooting up from beneath the ice on Europa up into the vacuum of space. And they used a technique called infrared astronomy. So they weren't observing visible light that we could see with our naked eye, but infrared wavelengths. And it took them 17 tries over the course of 2 years. But they were finally able to capture this phenomenon in progress, this water shooting up, much like you might see a geyser here on Earth. And so I spoke with John O'Mara. He's the chief scientist at the Keck Observatory, and he explained why this team from NASA chose the Keck for their mission.
We're up very high. We're at almost 14,000 feet, and that's really important for this type of measurement because this type of measurement was happening out in the infrared wavelength, and those infrared wavelengths, the light can get eaten up by the atmosphere. In fact, the water in our own atmosphere can block very effectively parts of the infrared light. And so you need to be able to go to a site that's high enough where you're looking through a lot less atmosphere.
You know, interestingly, Catherine, over the course of the debate over the 30-meter telescope, this issue is actually one of the things that I've heard raised a lot by astronomers, that for infrared astronomy particularly, you need to be as high as you can, and that's what makes Mauna Kea preferable to the Canary Islands, because the Canary Islands are, I think, about half the elevation of Mauna Kea.
I think it's interesting that they were just so stubborn and, 17 tries, that's amazing.
17 tries, yeah. And so that it indicated that this isn't a super common phenomenon, that it's not happening constantly, but it is there. And there were a couple really fascinating aspects of the story to me. That was one of them. The other one was that liquid water can even exist out there at all. We know from Earth that water exists in liquid form in a pretty narrow range of temperatures, and the surface temperature on Europa at the equator never gets above minus 260 degrees Fahrenheit, well below the freezing point. And so what a few astronomers and planetary scientists told me is that the moon is actually generating heat from within because of the immense gravitational force being applied on it by Jupiter. Jupiter's so large and produces such strong gravity that it's creating friction heat. And that is enough to keep the water on Europa warm enough to stay in liquid form below this cap of ice that's on the surface. And the other really fascinating thing is how much water is there. The estimates from NASA say that there is double the amount of water on Europa that we have here on Earth.
Whoa.
So of all the water on liquid water on Earth's oceans, double it, and it could even be more than that. The ocean there is estimated to be 100 miles deep, the deepest known point on Earth's ocean is 7 miles. So this is a really huge body of water. And that's significant because on Earth, anywhere you find water, you will find life. And
Jupiter is a big planet, isn't it?
Yeah, Jupiter's huge. It has 79 moons. They're always discovering more. There's in the last few years, there's been a few more. This body, Europa, is about the size of our moon, so much, much smaller, but covered in water and a lot more of it than we have here on Earth, apparently. And so that's attracted a lot of attention from scientists. NASA says that Europa is the most likely place to find life outside of Earth in our solar system. And to learn a little bit more about that, I spoke with Richard Greenberg, who's a retired planetary scientist with the University of Arizona.
We now know that that liquid water is close enough that it actually squirts out. Well, that means that liquid water gets close to the surface, and it's quite possible that organisms could then live right near the surface, in the ice or just below the ice in the water. We've done some studies of the availability of oxygen, the chemicals and stuff, and all the ingredients are there.
So really significant, and so significant that NASA, it was planned before this discovery, but this only kind of solidifies the urgency. NASA is planning to send a probe just to Europa. We haven't had one do a flyby there since the 90s, I believe, in the Galileo mission. And so this one's going specifically to Europa. It will launch sometime in the next decade. It doesn't have a precise launch date yet, and it will make some really detailed observations of the moon and kind of further this search for extraterrestrial life. One of the interesting things about that prospect that both John O'Mara and Richard Greenberg raised is the potential of contaminating Europa with life from Earth, much in the way that invasive species can travel across continents on Earth. Spacecraft that we send from Earth to another planet, Mars or Europa or anywhere else, can carry Earth life, Earth bacteria, and they've been found to be pretty hardy, and they can survive. And there's a concern that that could create a false positive, that you could actually introduce life to one of these environments and think that you've found a unique source of life outside of Earth, but you've actually just transplanted some Earth life.
Do we know if NASA or anybody's poking around at any of the other moons?
They have missions going all over the place. I believe there's one called Juno right now that's in orbit around Jupiter. That's focusing on the planet of Jupiter. As I said earlier, there's, I think, 79 moons right now, so far too many to really make detailed observations with a single spacecraft. But there's a lot of astronomy being done from Earth, and the Hubble Space Telescope can look at things that way. But this is really becoming one of the big focuses, along with Mars, for exploration within our solar system.
But I think, like I said, it's amazing that they tried, and they kept trying 17 times, and they finally got some evidence.
Yeah, 17 times, and they were lucky. One of the things I had asked about was, is this the kind of thing that really needs to be planned out in advance? With some of the other celestial observations we've heard about in the last few years, they only happen maybe once a decade or once every couple of years, something like that. And John O'Mara at Keck told me that with Jupiter, because it's so close to Earth, relatively speaking, you get a lot of observation time. You can look at Jupiter several months out of the year. So a study like this is not as susceptible to disruption the way some of these other ones are. But, you know, it does bring into focus that there's a lot of uncertainty within the astronomy industry in Hawaii right now related to everything that's going on with the 30-meter telescope.
I imagine, though, that there might be an additional funding attached if they have this breakthrough.
Yeah, this study was conducted by NASA. They're definitely a heavyweight in the world of space exploration. They used Keck, so that's kind of the way this business works, is there are all these different telescopes and different teams bid competitively to get time to use the telescope. So this NASA team put in a proposal to use Keck, and as we heard earlier, they chose Keck for specific reasons, and then they were accepted by the team at Keck to get their days on the telescope. So it's definitely a competitive process, but this is a high priority mission, it seems like.
Yeah, so interesting. But thanks so much, Ryan.
Sure thing.
That was Ryan Finnerty talking about the latest discovery of water vapors on one of Jupiter's moons. to read his story and look at some cool pictures, go to HawaiiPublicRadio.org.